I'm Mark Bayshore. This is Current State on 90.5 WKAR. The Michigan State University Press has completed the publication of an extensive three-part history of MSU. The third installment is on shelves now, and Current State Scott Pohl talked with the author, Doug Nover. Talk to us about the series, Scott.
Well, Mark, these three books cover the important phases of the university's history. Volume 1 by Keith Witter details the Michigan Agricultural College years. David Thomas wrote the second volume about the Michigan State College years. And now Doug Nover's book brings readers up to modern-day Michigan State University. It's called Michigan State University, The Rise of a Research University and the New Millennium, 1970 to 2005. Doug Nover, welcome to Current State.
Good to be here.
Tell me about the time frame you've chosen to cover, or was this time frame assigned to you, 1970 to 2005?
It was, the book says 1970, but the time frame they gave me was 1969, the end of John Hanna's presidency, and then Walter Adams coming in as president. But when I looked into the development of MSU as a research-intensive university, I realized that that story stretched far back. In fact, I go as far back as the early 20th century with some of the researchers and scientists at that time, because I was really interested in seeing how a culture of research was established, where the research strengths were, and how they build on those research strengths.
This almost sounds like it's something of a preamble to the time frame that the bulk of the book
is
about.
It is. It's a very necessary preamble, and in the sense that this is very necessary groundwork that was laid for developing a research culture, a research infrastructure, a set of notable researchers who achieved national and international recognition for their work, and, of course, Hanna coming in when he did, he was familiar with these scientists. He knew that there was a very strong base in the basic sciences to build on. We're talking about chemistry, plant botany, plant biology, all areas. And so that's what I laid out at the beginning of the book is, and it was really quite a delight for me to get to know these individuals.
You've told me you had a particular interest in work that was done by a committee that President Hanna formed in the late 1950s on the future of the university, and that segment of the book helps set up the rest of the development of the late 20th and early 21st century here.
It does. This was probably the most important committee in the history of the university, and the most important committee report in the history of the university. It was the report on the future of the university. There were 17 members of the committee, and they submitted a report basically that became the roadmap for how they were going to move into becoming a major research university. I think they had already become a research university, notable research university in the 50s, particularly with an increasing number of PhDs that were granted. And in 1964, when Michigan State became an AAU Research One institution, Hanna was disappointed that it came that late. He believed that they should have gone in as early as 1957, because he believed the 50s were a very important, very productive period for the university. But by 1967, just 3 years after we became AAU, American Association of Universities member, Michigan State University was the seventh largest grantor of PhDs in the entire country. It was quite a, it was the high point, really, although the production of PhDs continued very strong in the 1970s as well.
We're talking with Doug Nover. He's the author of Volume 3 of the MSU Sesquicentennial series of books from the MSU Press. It's called The Rise of a Research University and the New Millennium, covering the years 1970 to 2005. One of the beauties of these books, all three of them now, is the photography in them. I want to ask you about putting together a book like this, not just the process of research and writing, which was extensive. You've told me it's altogether a four-year-plus project. Choosing photographs and rejecting photographs has to be quite an undertaking for a book like this.
And even finding certain photographs. The photograph that was the most difficult to find was the fire at Ag Hall, which was an arson fire, as you know, set by a group that were opposed to some of the research being done at Michigan State University, and we finally found a picture of that. But the picture of the student occupation of Grand River Avenue was a hard one to find. Your books turned out to be a very good source. You had to go through them page by page to try to find photographs. So we found things in yearbooks. And the Lansing State Journal wasn't a particularly good source because they haven't digitized most of their photographic collection. So I would say that our savior, of course, was the MSU Archives and Historical Collections, who have an incredible collection of photographs, and they were just so helpful in locating photographs. Gabe Dotto, who is the director of the press, and I worked with him closely, he said, "Now just think of it, some people will read these chapters through and look at the pictures and the captions." He said, "Let those pictures tell the same story and let the captions tell the same story that the chapter tells, not in the same language, but in different language with, you know, different details and so forth." And he says that's the way you hook them to read the chapter all the way through from first word to last word. So in a book like that, first of all, it's important because it's a documentation of the university's history. It's an official documentation of the university's history, and people like to see, you know, who was involved. We got some exceptional pictures. The building of the library, for example, the east wing of the library, the shot was taken from the river, near the river, with the foundation of the new administration building in the foreground. So you had kind of like a double building picture, and that documents certain parts of the history as well.
You've chosen an aerial photograph for the cover. Can you explain that? Tell me about that photo and explain why you chose it.
Immediately when I saw it, I knew it was the cover for the book. And basically the reason being that I thought that it captured perfectly the cyclotron to the left, the law school in the middle, the business college to the right, and then stretching down two corridors, basically almost every one of the essential research facilities of the university. This used to be the agricultural part of the university. This is where the cow barns and the feed barns and the bull barns and all those things were located, and of course that's all moved south campus now and away from the campus, but it used to be right part of the campus. I mean, students used to go across the river to go across the wooden bridge to work in the fields. The fields were right there for them to do their work in. And President Hanna, of course, did not allow people to smoke on campus. He thought that was a bad sign for college students to smoke. It was a waste of money, gave a bad image. So if they wanted to smoke, they had to go across the river to smoke south of the south of the river. Of course, when the veterans came back after World War II, as they did in large numbers, they weren't about to have John Hanna tell them they couldn't smoke or not. So smoking came back to the campus when the veterans came here after World War II.
When I think of the work of a historian, let's say the first two volumes in this series, I see the challenges being perhaps finding the documentation to back up the stories you're trying to tell. In a more recent history like the one you've written, I imagine one of the challenges is that you're writing about people who in many cases are still alive and might desire to have some influence on what you write about them. Has there been any of that in this project?
None whatsoever. And I had complete freedom, latitude to develop the book. You know, there were a couple of occasions where things that I was a part of, because I've been here since 1970, and my feelings about those events and those individuals. There was one in particular, and basically what I did was I wrote it, got it out of my system, and then took it out of the text, because this is a story about people and facts and events, with some interpretation, some analysis of it, but I thought that if you stuck to the facts and the facts were accurately researched and verified, that you didn't have to worry about what people would think or what people might say.
The MSU Press has now completed the 3-volume MSU Sesquicentennial series of books chronicling the history of the university. Volume 3 was written by my guest, Doug Nover. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I enjoyed our conversation.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.